Good. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Well, it's great to see all of you here today, and really awesome to see so many of you from the conference that we've been having over the past two nights. It's just been a really wonderful experience. I want to just give a thanks and a welcome to Mike Evans and Derek Steele, who are presenters for the weekend. So we've been meeting over the past two evenings, and it's just been a really wonderful experience for me and for our Tefillah team, our prayer team, and so many others. We've been seeing some really neat things, and hopefully we'll get to hear more and see more this evening. So just by way of the announcements for the conference sessions, we'll be having meeting again at 2 o'clock and then again in the evening for the healing service at 6:30. And so everyone's welcome to come out for the healing service at the end. So I have an important message that I want to share with you today, and I'm going to try to accomplish a difficult task in a short amount of time. I want to speak to our Messianic Jewish community here and to lay foundations for what I'll call Messianic Jewish healing prayer. And at the same time, for those of you who are new, from followers of Yeshua from among the nations, if you will, I hope to bring a greater awareness of what we Messianic Jews are all about and to help you catch a vision for what I'll call an important new and growing Jewish healing movement. Now, we've been to a lot of healing conferences, those of us on our Tefillah team here, and usually there are, you know, hundreds of people and lots of really great speakers and really great things happening, but myself and a few others were among the few, if the only ones in the whole conference wearing kippot. We're the only ones there. And I think it's really neat that today, here we are, you know, at our Jewish Shabbat morning service right here, you know, in the middle of this conference. And it's just a wonderful thing. I think that we're breaking new ground. We're breaking new ground here for us. Now, many of you know and have a deep love for Francis McNutt. How many of you have heard Francis McNutt speak? Good. Maybe 3/4 of the people here. And Mike, you'd probably say that he's a big part of why you're here today. Yeah, very much so, right? His influence on your life and many of us. You know, Francis wrote an important book called The Healing Reawakening. And coming from a priest in the Catholic tradition with his love for the historic church, Francis was able to bridge a new gap between the budding charismatic movements and the historic church tradition. He brought these things together, pioneering a healing reawakening, if you will, inside of the wider church in all of her different expressions. And here at Ruach Israel, we've benefited greatly from his gentle and his balanced and nuanced approach to healing prayer, which places a high value on tradition and a high value on bringing healing into a liturgical expression. And that's helped us as we bring healing into our Jewish synagogue, into our unique historic tradition that we have. And it may seem bold, but I believe that we and our Tefillah team here at Ruach Israel, that we're pioneering what I'll call a Jewish healing reawakening in our world today. Now, Francis talks about in his book, The Healing Reawakening, he says that it was originally called Who Stole the Church? But that it got put in the mystery section in the bookstore. So he changed the title. But his book eloquently unpacks how healing prayer was gradually lost over the centuries, and he called it the church's greatest sin. Today, I want to build on that and suggest that there's an even greater sin at the heart. What Rabbi Rich has called the world's greatest schism, that between the church and the synagogue. Let me explain. Most Jews and Christians today believe that Judaism and Christianity are two mutually exclusive religions. See, if you're Christian, you're here. If you're Jewish, you're here. What's the dividing line? Jesus. This is our world today, you see? Jews simply don't believe in Jesus. And if you're Jewish and you believe in Yeshua and our Messiah, then you come on over here. You know, leave all of that. And so what happens is that for the new Jewish believer in Messiah who considers himself a convert, which we don't identify that way in our world, who considers himself a convert out of Judaism, his Jewish identity becomes a relic of the past. Sometimes even something to be shunned from. But at Ruach Israel, we take our stand and we say that this is not biblical, but this is left over from an anti-Jewish social political agenda that made its way into the historic church. And we still experience it today. God has made an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people. Everlasting. Do you know what that word means? We read it throughout the whole Bible. Genesis 22:17, the Lord says to Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And then it's this beautiful passage. It goes on and says, you know, through your seed, I will bless the many nations of the world. And I want to suggest that those of you from among the nations here, you're living fulfillment of that prophecy today. Through the Jewish Messiah, you've come along, been grafted into the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See? Beautiful. It's a beautiful reality. And the Apostle Paul talks about it. This isn't the focus of my message, but that without becoming Jews, without taking on the identity of Israel, you are grafted into the same promise. You receive the same blessings as Gentiles. That's beautiful. Again in Jeremiah, this is what the Lord says, He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. And we're still here. See? There aren't any other pagan peoples that are still around today. It's an amazing reality. Yeshua, the apostles, including the Apostle Paul, they were Jews. Of course, at Ruach Israel, we talk about this all the time. They stayed Jews throughout the whole Bible. They didn't sort of lose that as they went through Acts into the few centuries. The New Testament is Jewish books. The Gospel, the Besorah in Hebrew, which we just read, the good news, is a Jewish good news. Yeshua's healing is thoroughly Jewish healing. Yeshua's miracles were done in the heart of a diverse and varied first century Jewish world. Many of us don't know that there were over 20 plus different kinds of Judaisms in the first world. They all argued with each other, just like you'll see in the church today and in modern Judaism today. It wasn't any different. In Luke 4:31, Yeshua said, a Jewish oppressed man free from a demon. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. Then we read, at sunset, the people brought to Yeshua all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people. This is Jewish healing. And it isn't just that healing prayer has Jewish roots. Healing is part of the fundamental Jewish hope. The kingdom of God has come in the Jewish Messiah. And in the Besorah, the Gospels, you can't even count. Mike's been talking about this. You can't even count the amount of times that Yeshua healed. Because in every story, he's either healing someone, going to heal someone, or coming from healing someone. He heals along the way, everywhere he goes. And I think it was more than just these signs so that people would listen. Yes, that was part of it, but more. Sometimes he would say to people, fine, let's listen, I'll heal you, but just don't tell anybody, please. When he saw people suffering, his heart went out to them. He couldn't bear to see it, even if his time hadn't quite yet come. And then Yeshua empowers his Jewish followers, just like us, to heal just like he did. In Matthew 10, we see him sending out the disciples to drive out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and sickness. Now, interestingly here, he says this, don't go to the Gentiles yet. Go to your own Jewish towns. In Acts, crowds come to the early Messianic Jews. I'm using the term a bit anachronistically, but there were early Messianic Jews. And they're healed. Imagine this. Peter, Kepha, Yochanan, John, they're headed to the temple. Why? To go to the afternoon prayer service that's associated with Mincha, the afternoon offering at the temple. As they get to the temple gate, there's a paralyzed beggar there, and he asks them for money. And Peter says, he looks at the man, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach HaNatzarati, walk! And then he took him by the hand, and instantly the man's feet and ankles become strong, and he jumps to his feet and he begins to walk. And it says the man was so thrilled that he runs and he jumps into the temple courts, praising God. And you know what? 5,000 Jewish people came to believe that day. 5,000. That's Jewish healing. What many of us don't know is that healing was something which characterized the early Messianic Jewish communities and Gentile communities for the next 300 years. We know from early sources that there was a thriving community of Messianic Jews through the 3rd and 4th centuries called the Nazarenes. Did you know that? Thriving community, 300 years. They were a lot like us, the sources say. They were Jewish in every way. They were passionate about Yeshua. There are examples in early rabbinic literature of early Messianic Jews during the 2nd, 3rd centuries healing. So much so that it causes controversy about whether they're allowed to heal in Yeshua's name. Once again, the 250s. Still other sources tell us that 3rd and 4th centuries, the main way that Jewish and Gentile believers shared about Yeshua was through healing and casting out evil spirits. Our God is real and will show you. That's what they said. What a difference from today. To us Messianic Jews, our early Jewish brothers and sisters in Messiah were known for healing in Yeshua's merit. That's what we need to take away from this. And to the church, you need to take this. There were strong Yeshua-following Jewish communities who did not give up living Jewish lives. And we Jews were never intended to assimilate into a non-Jewish world. But what happened? Now, Rome was anti-Jewish. Did you know that? Very anti-Jewish. Do you remember Rome destroyed the temple in 70 CE, the Jerusalem temple, and brutally murdered and exiled hundreds of thousands of Jews from the land of Israel? What happened was those anti-Jewish sentiments gradually crept into the growing Gentile church. And by the late 4th century, Constantine institutionalizes Christianity as the official state religion of Rome. It took about 60 or 70 years for this to happen. But largely as a political move, Christianity became inseparable from the Roman political agenda. There were good things that happened here too, but it became inseparable from that political agenda. And the problem was that that agenda was anti-Jewish. And so they used the Christian faith as yet another platform to persecute the Jewish people. And an age of Christian persecution against the Jews began with violent pogroms and forced conversions, massacres led by soldiers with crosses on their shields. And inside of this new church, a new anti-Jewish theology developed, where the attempt was to separate from everything Jewish. It's called replacement theology today, where the Gentile church, in essence, replaces the Jewish people. And you know what? It's around this time that the early Messianic Jewish communities disappear. To join the Roman church at that time, a Jew was forced to renounce everything Jewish. You could be killed for keeping Jewish customs. Those of us from Ruach Israel here, we would be burned at the stake. Serious stuff. Did you know that the Inquisition was an attempt by the church to weed out those who were forced Jewish converts but would still practice Judaism in secret? And that didn't end until the modern era. The church didn't formally shut that down until the modern era. Gradually, throughout the centuries, Yeshua has been stripped of his Jewishness. Just think, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. But in Romans 11, the Apostle Paul says that our Jewish election is irrevocable. And he's speaking to Gentiles. He's saying their election is irrevocable. Remember this. But this seemingly unbreakable barrier between the church and the Jewish people was firmly established. And so you can understand why Judaism and Christianity seem so far apart today. But it isn't supposed to be that way. And as for healing prayer, get this. It's about the same time that our Messianic Jewish communities disappear, that healing prayer fades into our theological memory. And I wonder if there's a connection here. At least on the ground, the powerful Greco-Roman Stoic worldview, which included, was introduced into the church at that time, saw sickness as a thing to be endured rather than to be freed from. So seeking healing in this new church became a sign of spiritual weakness when it was disconnected from its Jewish roots, which didn't see the world that way. There were other factors that played into this too, into the suppression of healing. Political leaders in the church needed to maintain religious control over the people, so healing prayer was limited to those in power. But interestingly enough, even here, without healing taking its proper place, there have still been historical records of healing throughout the ages. See, it's amazing. But in my opinion, that in order to explain why people didn't seem to get healed anymore, theologies were literally invented that said that healing prayer was a thing only for Yeshua and the people in the books of Acts. By the time of the Protestant Reformation, healing was frowned upon in all just about Christian denominations. Leaders like John Calvin were adamant that healing prayer needed to be wiped out because it took people away from the focus of the next life. The Enlightenment teaches us to be highly critical of anything we can't measure and can't see with our senses. So I think Francis says this, that by the 1500s to the end of the 1900s, healing prayer was suppressed largely by the Christians themselves. And we live with the effects of this today. And I think this can help us understand why we have so many doubts and challenges and hesitations when we seek to pray for healing, and allow us to be gracious with ourselves and to allow us to have those doubts and step out and pray anyway. Now, I don't like to point fingers. We love the historic church, just like we love our tradition here, our Jewish tradition. The issues are far too complex. These are good people. These are good people who did good things. But in regard to the suppression of Jewish Yeshua faith and the suppression of healing, they bought into theological ideas which didn't reflect some of our Messiah's highest values. And we need to undo this today. And in the early 1900s, a nascent Messianic Jewish movement began stirring once again, picking up full steam in the 1970s. And amazingly, this is exactly when healing begins to come back into the community of Yeshua believers, beginning in the charismatic Protestant movements in the early 1900s, and then in the 1960s and 1970s, moving into the mainline Christian denominations. God is on the move. And you know, we Messianic Jews, we modern Messianic Jews, we have some precedent here. This isn't new for us. Some of the first modern Messianic Jews to surface who embraced both the Jewish lifestyle and vibrant Yeshua faith claimed to have experienced healings and miracles routinely. Rabbi Lichtenstein, who was a Messianic Jew of the 19th century, he was said in his Jewish community to be a wonder-working chassid. He even claimed to have met the Apostle Peter in a vision. But you know, we Messianic Jews face a very unique challenge in the world today as we do this. We're divinely called to call out a Yeshua-centered Jewish presence in the world that hasn't existed for some 16 centuries. And I believe that healing in Yeshua's merit is our privilege, if you will, as faithful Messianic Jews. But because of that great schism that we talked about, and the history of persecution, and the history of healing prayer that we talked about, this is a challenge. Those of you who have some history in Messianic Judaism will know that historically, most Messianic Jewish communities who have emphasized healing and the manifestations of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, have largely opted out of the Jewish experience. They've left. So we feel this tension here at Ruach Israel. Some Messianic Jews feel they must give up on our Jewish calling and vocation in order to pursue what they feel like is a more spirit-filled and charismatic faith walk. While others feel they need to give up on things like healing prayer because they feel that it threatens their calling to be an authentic and prophetic voice for Yeshua. See, no. It's the same Spirit who gives us Jews both. They're part of one shared heritage. And I believe that God is calling us at Ruach Israel and other like-minded Jewish communities to be of the first Messianic Jews in modern world history to bring these two parts together. To build a thoroughly Jewish movement with Yeshua at the heart, where Judaism and Yeshua are no longer separate antithetical categories, but like it was for Yeshua himself in the first centuries, inseparable. And see, this is key for us Jews. Our Jewish identity, our commission, flow from the very life of Messiah himself. Right in the heart. And for us Jews, that means doing what Yeshua did. What he empowered and commissioned us to do. And you know, for us Jews, that means live Jewishly, just like he did. And heal the sick and walk in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? We Jews throughout the centuries, we've always asked God for healing. If you go through the history, it's been up and down, but healing prayer has found its way into the modern Siddur. It's built into the Torah service. We prayed the Misha Barak today. Did you know that those of you who are not from the Jewish tradition, that in synagogues around the world, in all mainstream sections of Judaism, they pray for healing on Shabbat in the Torah service. It's like central to who we are as Jews, whether through prayer like the Misha Barak, in modern Judaism, emotional support, medicine, healing the sick, preservation of life is considered one of Judaism's highest values. We find faith healing in Talmud. The obligation to visit and care and pray for the sick is elevated so much that if someone in Jewish tradition doesn't, it's considered akin to bloodshed if we don't. That's Judaism. In the 16th and 18th centuries, Jewish mystics who were not messianic believed in healing prayer. In the Hasidic Jewish movement, Rabbi Nachman even emphasized that we should rely on healing prayer to make us well. Wow. Praying for healing is at the heart of Judaism. What's new for us Messianic Jews is not healing prayer. What's new is the empowerment and charge that we're given to do so through the authority and the power of Yeshua, the Son of God. See, and if healing is a quintessential Jewish value, and if we Messianic Jews have been commissioned with an even greater ability and calling to lay hands on the sick and pray for those in Yeshua's merit, then what then if we don't do it? A Messianic Judaism which doesn't seek after God's manifest power will be like a soldier fighting with one hand tied behind his back. And at the same time, if we lose sight of our messianic primary calling to be a Jewish representative of Messiah in our world today, it's as if we tie the other hand behind our back. And no, we believe that God is calling us to a much greater task, to reclaim Yeshua's healing among our Jewish people. So, for us, healing prayer needs to happen within the framework of normal daily life, just like it did for the disciples. Notice that when Yeshua is healing, he's always headed towards his greater goal in Jerusalem. He didn't just go off to China and heal there, or this, that. He went to Jerusalem to usher in the greatest healing that the world has ever known. His self-sacrifice for Israel and the nations. And I don't like to be grandiose. You know, here at Ruach, we really like to see ourselves as just regular people with a sense of humor and not to take ourselves too seriously. And that's really important for us. We like to have fun, all that. We have weaknesses. We have problems just like everyone else. But however imperfect all of us are. In a prophetic sense, I believe that the Messianic Jewish movement is the beginnings of Israel's return to the Messiah. Healing that great schism between God's people. And the early stirrings I consider to be the beginnings of the fullness of Israel that Paul talks about in Romans 11. And do you know what he says about that? This blows my mind. He says that the fullness of Israel will lead to the resurrection of the dead. Not just one person, but everybody. I mean, that's big. I don't even know what to do with that. We just go along our way, you know. And Yeshua says that he won't return until all of our Jewish people bend their knee and say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I do believe, again, not to be too grandiose, but I do believe that we're the beginnings of a Jewish community that bends our knee and says, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. See, now that's Jewish healing. And heaven forbid we Messianic Jews miss our greater calling, the even greater healing we're called to participate in. We're all called to build a vibrant movement of committed Jewish people who love Yeshua, and to build a home for Yeshua in the heart of our Jewish people. And that's exciting. Now to close, I've talked about a lot of big picture things here, but as we've been pressing into healing on the ground, I want to help us Messianic Jews to stay in balance over the long term and to be encouraged. Healing prayer is key, exciting part of our Messianic Jewish calling. And to those of you from among the church, among the nations, I want to encourage you with the things that God is doing in our world today. And as brothers and sisters in Messiah, you can help us embrace our uniquely Jewish healing heritage. You can help us to fulfill our destiny as Messianic Jews. And to us all, listen, we're all going to have hesitations. We're going to get it wrong sometimes. We're going to have doubts. We'll have fears. We'll have questions. We'll feel inadequate. We'll pray for people and they won't seem to get better sometimes. Look at the history we're up against. Of course, it makes sense. But we need to just step out, take the risk, and pray. And the more we pray, as Mike says, the more we'll see. And in our sanctuary over the past few nights even, we've been seeing some significant healings in various different ways. And as we do this, the more Yeshua's healing becomes a normal, relaxed, balanced part of our everyday lives. This is just what we do. So with that, Shabbat Shalom to you all, and look forward to seeing you at those of you who are part of the conference later on, and the rest of you for our lunch today. Thank you.